Blog Talk Radio.
Gorsuch is a shoe-in. They didn't put a glove on him, and it provides the intellectuals, or the intellectual, the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States most desperately needs, and in comparison to the rest of those guys and gals, he really shows up the field. But the real takeaway from yesterday was not Gorsuch's shockingly good performance, which was absolutely epic, in my opinion. I've never seen anybody perform like that. He made it look so easy. It was the news from the committee head, Devin Nunes, that Trump and friends had been surveilled. And it was passed around widely because of the change in rules right before Obama left office. And get this, it had absolutely nothing to do with Russia. Now, what do the Democrats have to say? Good morning, it's Kelly. It's 23rd of March, but they really don't have anything to say now, except they're furious at Nunez and they're demanding a special prosecutor, investigator, whatever. There's been so much misinformation put out there, but we do know, according to newspaper reports, that there was some surveillance that had turned up information about Trump and the people that were working for him. The left was saying for a while that Trump lied, and now it's coming out that there was surveillance that was done. Now, I don't know if it was anecdotal, meaning, you know, kind of in the margins, or, you know, it's we just don't know enough about it. But one of the things that upset the panel and the Democrats is that as soon as the head of the committee found out about it, he went and told Trump. And, you know, we've got everything turned upside down now. You know, Trump is being treated by the media and the Democrats as just another person in office in Washington, D.C., who has no more rights or privileges than anybody else. And this has got to stop, you know, because it's creating a chaotic experience. What came out, Trump had somehow, and it could have been, who knows? I mean, somebody was being surveilled, but the net was thrown wide enough to include a Trump or Trump's people. And when that information came to light, it was then shared widely, which is, you know, it's a terrible thing. And then, it's really crazy. I've got a little clip for you on this. I think that Gorsuch is a shoo-in. He's going to be great on the court. The guy stopped his career in the middle of his career to go to England to study at Oxford underneath John Finnis and to study deeply the natural law. And I think we desperately need that. We need to get back to what the idea is behind law. If law is just what people say it is, which is the current definition, that's what you call positive law, then what the Nazis did, who's to say what the Nazis did was wrong? I mean, you can't have it both ways. If what the Nazis did was against some deep and profound principle about human beings, that human beings are not supposed to be treated in certain ways, then that means there's a natural law, because that's what the committee, the San Francisco committee that put together the Nuremberg trial to try the Nazi war criminals, it was legal in Germany what they did. And so they had to reach beyond national law and find universal principles. And it's unfortunate that groups, the United Nations, put out enormous misinformation by claiming that people have rights. And by the way, there's no natural law. Don't worry about it. But anyway, Gorsuch on the court is going to be a good thing. I just can't wait to hear his opinions. Now, here is your revelation on surveillance of the Trump campaign.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks for watching it.
Actually, I want to play this one for you, but I want to get the one straight from Nunez first, or Nunez. I guess his name is pronounced Nunez, because he is the one that made the announcement. And I thought the language that he chose was good.
Nunez and the comments that he made earlier.
The reports that I was able to see did not have anything to do with Russia or the Russia investigation. I think some of it seems to be inappropriate. What I've read seems to me to be some level of surveillance activity, perhaps legal, But I don't know that it's right, and I don't know that the American people would be comfortable with what I've read. But let us get all the reports. It is possible. I think the president is concerned, and he should be. I think he'd like to see these reports.
Okay, and a quick round of reaction to the news we just heard. Bowling, we'll start with
you. It's explosive. The day, all day long, when I heard this news in the midst of the terror going on in London, I was like, oh my, what do you lead with? And this, I think, is massive. I know we got to go quickly.
No,
we're going to talk about
break
it a little
is
bit
dead.
More.
Go ahead.
Oh, the break is dead. Cool. All right. So we have a leaker or a whistleblower who's confirmed what Trump has kind of alluded to, but more importantly, has confirmed the opposite of what the Intel Department was testifying on Monday in front of the panel, where they said there was no surveillance going on in anyone in the Trump administration. Now we know it's not only Flynn, there may or may not be Flynn, but there are others with this incidental collection of data, mm-hmm. which is basically a surveillance. It has to come via surveillance. I mean, I'm sure they didn't stand there and take pictures. They did it via data, and they did it through a FISA court. And get this, it has nothing to do with Russia. So there's even further proof that both James Comey and Rogers were less than open with what was actually going on towards the Trump administration by the intel community. It's explosive. We need to really do jump out here and find out what's going on. And Adam Schiff coming to a microphone and playing games in front of it doesn't fix anything. This is big news.
Boom. Explosive.
It is. It is.
It's a phone. Okay. I mean, can I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead. We have five.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
This is Bob Beckel, who looks like he's been in a concentration camp. I guess he was kicked off the show and now he's back, but he looks totally washed out.
I'd like to
except he's still fat.
Say that first of all, the first investigation out of this ought to be Nunez for leaking that information out. Secondly, he didn't tell his Republican colleagues. Third, they said the FISA court had authorized the investigation of two foreign nationals that the names may or may not have come up with some people in the Trump administration. Trump said that Barack Obama tapped him. He lied then. The people confirmed that he lied. He's now, Nunez is down there. And what has he accomplished? Two things. He's muddied up the Russian investigation, and he's given Trump a little bit of cover for his lies. And I mean, it is so transparent. And by the way, I would be surprised if the White House didn't give him that stuff to the go with anyway.
Bob's upset about leaks now.
The big picture of whether Trump is vindicated or not, it doesn't matter if it vindicates him wholly, because if you take it, this is all about a tweet. It's a tweet in the broadest sense. It doesn't have to do with him being specifically proven correct. The fact it's like saying you were assaulted, but they only grabbed your arm. Technically, they're the same thing. So he's saying, like, Obama leaked. Obama was tapping me, but it turns out that maybe it was an administration doing some kind of incidental collecting. Incidental collecting, by the way I look at that, that's like when you take a picture of your wife on vacation and behind you is some stranger picking his nose.
Can I just point out why this really does matter, though? Because we've understood that this was an investigation into Russian ties to the Trump administration. According to Devin Nunes today, it's not the Russians. There had to be a FISA court request for surveillance
or
other
entirely different issues.
No, but
that has nothing to do with Russia.
You know, it does matter, Bob. On Monday, we heard Comey and Rogers
tell
say
the
that
truth.
There is not there hasn't been, nor is there an ongoing.
No, is there anything?
All right, so I think they need to get James Comey out of there. I don't know what the rule is on that. I'll have to look it up. James Comey, he's a diva. He's more important than any of the news that he covers, and that's why he has these little announcements for the FBI. Hillary's being investigated. Well, now we're not investigating Hillary. Well, we found a pad of paper with notes on it in an empty room with her name on it. We're investigating her again. I'm making that part up, but I mean, he, while acting like he's totally above any level of scrutiny, he's terrible. I mean, the FBI is supposed to be operating, you know, kind of silently in the background. So anyway, this is a big deal. I mean, it's a huge deal. Now there was, let's see here. I've got a little bit from Newt on this as well. So check this out.
This is a Fox News alert. We have more on today's terror attack in London coming up in just a few minutes. But first, earlier today, House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes made the bombshell announcement confirming what President Trump has now been saying for weeks, that in fact, surveillance was collected on members of his team and himself. Now, Nunes briefed the president at the White House earlier today, and afterwards he took questions from the, well, destroy press media. Take a look.
Are you saying that it was political surveillance of political opponents, as the president has suggested in his tweets?
What I've read bothers me, and I think it should bother the president himself and his team, because I think some of it seems to be inappropriate.
I think the reason that Nunes went to talk to the president, whether he broke protocol or not, because you're supposed to read this stuff and then come back to the committee and talk to the committee and then decide the Intel committee what you're going to release. And this Schiff guy is real Schiff-less. But I think the reason that he did it is he considered it to be an attack against the president and therefore the presidency. And in the interest of the safety of the presidency. That's my impression. He could have been brown nosing, but I think the way he reacted tells me that he was disturbed at the evidence that had come out and the falsity of the narrative up to that point. But also, they're not investigating Russia. They find out information. This is what I get. What happened? They're investigating something else. Whether they were investigating Trump really isn't the issue. The issue is that information about Trump and his campaign, his people, came out, and it was because of, number one, because Obama changed the rules on sharing information, was widely put out there, number one, and number two, because of this massive culture against Trump in D.C., people talked about it openly, they passed around the information, and it is an extreme violation of the president's rights of privacy, but it's also, it's almost to the level of, I don't know, treason is the right word, but insurrection. It goes back to Obama at some level, but it also gets to the dishonesty of the current conversation, I think. And I don't even know if this is really going to get out into the mainstream media, because there's so much, it's so confused right now. You know, you've got newspapers reporting that wiretapping or investigations brought the names of Trump associates that were associated, you know, contacting Russia. But at the same time, there was never any wiretapping. And, you know, these kind of word games going on from the left.
Now, President Trump was asked today about these revelations, and here is what he said. Take a look.
Do you feel vindicated by Chairman Nunes coming over here?
I somewhat do. I must tell you, I somewhat do. I very much appreciated the fact that they found what they found, but I somewhat do.
And still with us, former Speaker of the House, Fox News contributor Newt Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, I look at this and I say, wow, here it is. The media has been so wrong for so long. You know, they're trying to make a big deal. Well, was he actually wiretapped or were there surveillance? For 2 weeks on this program, we have been pointing out that, in fact, surveillance did take place.
Let's come back. I don't want to get up behind on my brakes, but let's come back in just a second. And this is a big deal. This is a big deal, but it's so confusing. And there's so much misinformation out there that's been put out there. And I think the left is trying to kill the story just through immersion, through so much information and so many misleading statements. And we still don't know exactly what happened. 621 Kelly O'Connell, AM Lesker is the same, 1455, 23, 1450. We'll be right back. Feel free to call in and get your opinion on the record. And say a prayer for Frankie. He's home with a baby bottle with a little bit of Jameson's in it, laying on his bed, feeling sorry for himself, especially after hearing Gorsuch. We'll be right back.
As they say in Spanish, enciende el fuego. that it will be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Yes, sir.
It's Kelly. Bob, what's up?
Kelly, this is Bob.
Bob, what's up?
Well, I don't know whether I want to be a county commissioner since I'm living out in the county, or a city councilman. I'm looking at possibly the county. I don't know. I haven't been a part of the county yet.
Why not go for both?
Well, I don't think I'll have time.
Okay. When are you running?
Okay. I don't know. I have to go to the Republican Party and see what they say. Because they say it takes $10,000.
Sounds reasonable.
Well, that's for the city. About the county, I don't know. So I'll be looking into it. And Kelly, if I get married and we have the Civic Center, I want you to be on the court.
Bob, if you get married, I'll show up. All right, man. Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
All right, I've got a few more clips here for you from Devin Nunes, which I'm impressed with the guy. I mean, there's something about him that kind of draws you in. He seems maybe a little bit shy or whatever, but he is, I don't know, he seems like an honest person. You never know, but here we go. I think what he's saying is unrebutted because Schiff, who wanted to put a shiv in Trump, this little shiflet from California is now left with his mouth hanging open talking about protocol. But here is, they're asking about the Intel Committee. The Intel Committee is not cooperating with, or the FBI is not cooperating with the investigation, which I find bizarre. James Comey has to go. There's just too many questions about the guy. I think on both sides of the aisle, on the Democrat and the Republican side, there's just been too many weird things and inconsistencies. And for him to act like, you know, he's the second coming is just, it's sad to look at. Here we go.
Chairman, we knew that there was some incidental collection because Lieutenant General Michael Flynn was caught up talking with Sergey Kislyak.
Right.
Does this go beyond that? And does this qualify as the sort of wiretapping that the president was tweeting?
Well, it definitely goes beyond what happened to General Flynn. Now, of course, we don't actually know yet officially what happened to General Flynn. We just know that his name leaked out, but we don't know how it was yet. That's one of the things that we asked for in our March 15th letter was for the NSA, CIA, and FBI to get us all the unmasking that was done. And I'll tell you, NSA is being cooperative, but you know, so far the FBI has not told us whether or not they're going to respond to our March 15th letter, which is now a couple weeks old.
And again, does this seem to describe what the president was talking about?
So the FBI is operating on its own, and it is just doing what it wants, I guess. I mean, yeah, okay, so the FBI is it a rogue organization? Here's a little more from Nunes. And right here.
What's happening with this investigation? Today I briefed the president on the concerns that I had about incidental collection and how it relates to President-elect Trump and his transition team and the concerns that I have. As I said earlier, there'll be more information. Hopefully by Friday, the NSA is cooperating very, very well. And lastly, I'll say that the reports that I was able to see did not have anything to do with Russia or the Russia investigation or any tie to the Trump team. And with that, I'll love to take a couple questions if you have them.
Chairman, I have a quick question. Why is it appropriate for you to brief President Trump, given it's his own administration or campaign associates that are a part of this investigation?
I think this is the false narrative right here. Trump, they say he can't go tell President Trump because it's his administration that's being investigated. We don't even know what's going on. We don't know if there is an investigation, But if there was an investigation of the president, would that mean the president had to become inert, pulled out, set aside because somebody in the FBI or the Obama administration decided to investigate him? That's absurd. There has to be somebody at the head of the train doing the steering.
Because what I... Here we go.
One more time.
Have anything to do with Russia or the Russia investigation or any tie to the Trump team? And with that, I'll love to take a couple questions if you have them.
Chairman, I have a question. Why is it appropriate for you to brief President Trump, given it's his own administration or campaign associates that are a part of this investigation?
Because what I saw. It has nothing to do with Russia and nothing to do with the Russia investigation. Has everything to do with possible surveillance activities. And the president needs to know that this in, these intelligence reports are out there. And I have a duty to tell him that. I'm not drawing any conclusion. I'm just telling the president what exists in intelligence reports.
Subject to the surveillance under FISA order.
It appears so. I don't want to get too much into those details, but these were intelligence reports, and it brings up a lot of concerns about, you know, whether things were properly minimized or not. But I will tell you, I've only seen some. It's in the dozens, but we don't have the full scope of all the intelligence reports that were produced, or who ordered the unmasking of additional names.
Are you saying the surveillance, if it wasn't related to Russia or anything like that, are you saying that it was political surveillance of political opponents, as the president has suggested in his tweets?
What I've read bothers me, and I think it should bother the president himself and his team, because I think some of it seems to be inappropriate, but. Like I said, until we get all the information to the committee, it's hard to really say until we see it in its totality.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
We knew that there was some incidental collection because Lieutenant General Michael Flynn was caught up talking with Sergei Kislyak.
Right.
Does this go beyond that, and does this qualify as the sort of wiretapping that the president was tweeting about?
Well, it definitely goes beyond what happened to General Flynn. Now, of course, we don't actually know yet officially what happened to General Flynn. We just know that his name leaked out, but we don't know how it was picked up yet. That's one of the things that we asked for in our March 15th letter was for the NSA, CIA, and FBI to get us all the unmasking that was done. And I'll tell you, NSA is being cooperative, but you know, so far the FBI has not told us whether or not they're going to respond to our March 15th letter, which is now a couple weeks old.
And again, does this seem to describe what the president was talking about? Anybody was talking about, quote, wiretapping, which they then said was broader surveillance?
What I've read seems to me to be some level of surveillance activity, perhaps legal, but I don't know that it's right, and I don't know that the American people would be comfortable with what I've read, but let us get all the reports.
It is
possible.
The president said that President Obama tapped his phone.
That did not happen. I've said this for many, many weeks, including the day after, a couple days after, in front of the press. That never happened. So that never happened.
Did President Obama order any kind of surveillance of the president?
Well, we don't know. We don't know who sent the taskings. If the taskings were changed into what went into these intelligence reports, but we're going to try to find that out.
Permission to put out this information today. Did the Justice Department give you the okay to talk about this?
Justice Department doesn't have anything to do with this. This is information that was brought to me that I thought the president needed to know about incidental collection, where the president himself and others in the Trump transition team were clearly put into intelligence reports that ended up at this White House and across a whole bunch of other agencies. And I thought it was important for the president to know this. That's why I briefed the speaker this morning, and I came down here
as soon as I could.
Hold on. How many people are you seeing in these reports? And do any of them currently work at the White House for Mr. Trump?
Yeah, I don't want to get into the specifics of it because, look, I was only able to see a few dozen, of which I think a lot of it does have foreign intelligence value. So let's not.
Reports or people?
There were dozens of reports that I was able to see that were hoping that the NSA, FBI, CIA will provide, because I know they exist, so I want them to provide them to our committee so that all the members have an opportunity to see what I've been shown.
All right, so that's as good of a clip as I've heard anywhere. We'll take a break here and do some local news, 523-1450. You're in danger, I think, of having an argument out there that the FBI is more important than the Senate, and that can't happen. The FBI is a product of the Senate. The CIA is a product of the Senate, and the you cannot have these groups operating above the Senate and House with impunity, without any transparency, and because you end up with some nutcase like James Comey, who's out there. I mean, I really wonder about that guy's mental health. I'm not kidding. 636 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. I think he's develops a megalomania. We'll be back. 523-1450.
Try to set the night on fire.
Let me read you a few headlines for you, but I want to get back to some more commentary on this because this is a big deal. And the idea that the Democrats can describe it any way they want is silly. And use it to beat up Trump and act like Trump is some sort of a master liar. I mean, Trump was on to something. He must have been tipped off somehow and then jumped to the conclusion, which had to be true because you say something to somebody in private, you know that other person hasn't said anything, and all of a sudden it's out on everybody's lips. London Jihadi, there's an attack in London. It was known to M15 for violent extremism. So these people are out there. You know, Europe doesn't have the same level of rights that we do, so why don't they arrest these people before they go on these murderous, attacks? There was one open gate, and this guy was able to get in and then go on his killing spree. ISIS claiming responsibility, England, the UK claiming that it was a rogue person who operating on his own. House Intel Chairman Trump's personal communications may have been collected. He is alarmed as details are widely disseminated. And that's one of the issues here. It's one thing to perhaps even accidentally come across information about somebody. It's another thing, probably just as bad or worse, to put out there all of this information and use it to defame or take away the privacy of somebody, even if they're in the presidency. FBI is not cooperating. Why not? James Comey is now the most powerful person in Washington, according to one report. He's got to be removed, in my opinion. Death rates rising for a wide swath of white adults. And Oprah Winfrey must be happy about that because she said racists just have to die. The old racists have to die before they are replaced by non-racists. Mysterious equipment spotted on SpaceX drone ship. There was this weird thing from the International Space Station. A giant shadow came over it, and it's for some reason although I'm not a UFO person, the cameras always seem to fail if there's a UFO that kind of comes up in view. Who knows what this stuff is? Could be a lot of different things. Here is high drama for Obamacare voting. And Trump's numbers up to 50%. I mean, it would be hard to say. Number one, it would be hard to say what his support numbers are. Number two, what difference does it make right now? So anyway, let's get back to a little bit more Devin Nunez on these issues. Well, I've got, here's Joe Scarface Scarborough talking about this situation, that the most shocking revelation that we now have is that Trump was under investigation, but Hillary Clinton wasn't. Check this out.
Anybody that goes beyond this, I think, is, for one side or the other, is exaggerating. I mean, the first thing that came out was, obviously, number one,
yeah,
Donald Trump was lying about Barack Obama with a wiretap.
We all knew that, but now we know it.
We knew it,
sure.
But we get confirmation.
Not to interrupt, but we really don't. We don't know what happened that drew Trump in, and I don't think that Scarface doesn't like Trump, so anyway.
From the FBI and also from the Justice Department, they have absolutely no information. Neither did Clapper, neither do the Republicans or the Democrats that run the Intel Committee. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. You can put that aside. Number two, the FBI is investigating Donald Trump and his team.
Wow.
That's shocking. Number three has to be the follow-up. There was only one person on Election Day when Americans went to vote that was under investigation by the FBI.
Yeah.
And it was not Hillary Clinton. And history will look back and ask
and wonder why.
1,000 times over why Hillary Clinton was the focus of the FBI investigation and the news following that, and why the person whose team was actually under investigation when Americans went into the voting booth and selected him as president of the United States was actually the one under
investigation. Maybe that's the difference right there. It was Hillary was under investigation.
Well, I mean, so Hillary was officially under investigation, but not under actual investigation. And the alternative, Trump under investigation in real time, and Hillary let off, and then James Comey. And maybe that's why James Comey doesn't want to talk about this stuff, is there's absolutely no excuse for Hillary's activities not being scrutinized. And yet, you know, and everybody knows that Hillary was being given a pass by the mainstream media. It didn't matter how many visits to her office were sold through the Secretary of State. Totally irrelevant how many foreign governments and foreign wealthy business people and arms dealers and whoever else that wanted to talk to her would buy access through the Clinton Foundation. But as soon as Trump gets into office, a group of far lefties launches this attack against him and foreign emoluments. I'm telling you, the Democrats are destroying themselves here. Here's Newt Gingrich's response to surveillance.
This is confirmed. And Devin Nunes, the House Intelligence Committee chair, is very disturbed. I think every American should feel the same way. Your thoughts?
Well, I hope that both the House and Senate Intelligence Committees are going to dig into this and rip apart the bureaucracies and find out who did it, who authorized it, how did they make the changes that the Obama presidency made to make it easier to leak. This is really very, very sobering about American civil liberties. Here apparently you have a president whose party's defeated, who then uses the intelligence apparatus of the United States and then changes the rules knowing it will make it easier to leak. And this whole thing is sick. I also think that it is astonishing to have had everybody pile on President Trump and now turn out that President Trump is right. I look forward to the New York Times and the Washington Post issuing editorials of mea culpa admitting that Trump was right and they were wrong. And I love the idea of CBS and NBC and ABC actually admitting that their coverage has been wrong and their
and
assumptions
CNN.
Have been wrong.
All
CNN
of them
and
have been
MSNBC
wrong.
Have
they've been wrong.
Yeah.
They've all been wrong. But there's a real danger here to me, and that is, look, I understand. I'm a big supporter of the intelligence community, as I know you are, Mr. Speaker. A lot of these people put their lives on the line. This is an evil, dangerous world. We need that intelligence. But there are very specific laws and rules regarding right. the wiretapping surveillance of Americans. We still have a First, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth Amendment here, okay? And if there are rules, for example, if they're surveilling, say, a Russian ambassador, an Iranian ambassador, that's their job. But if they notice an American is on the line, they're supposed to practice what's called minimization. I've also talked to those people that have worked in intelligence. Normal practices, they don't identify who the American is. They will say an American. But in the case of General Flynn, they mentioned him. Now we know that they had surveillance on the president-elect and on members of his transition team. Well, did they have a warrant for those? Apparently not. It might be more felonies. That's the one thing that we seem to have clear here. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we've got to go back to the rule of law. That's why I think the House and Senate Intelligence Committees have to have deep investigations, tear this thing apart, and figure out who did what, when did they do it, who authorized it, who broke the law, and then insist that the Justice Department prosecute the people who broke the law. I mean, this is one of the most incredible breaches that I can think of since World War II, where an American elected, the new elected president is being in effect spied upon by his own government. That's really sobering.
Well, there's one other point to that, and it is James Clapper, National Director of Intelligence, the FBI Director, Admiral Rogers, have all said not one vote, not one, was influenced, as was asked by Chairman Nunez in the hearings. All right.
All right. So, you know, one of the things here is that if you know, I mean, this just shows you, with all due respect, how sick the media is, because Devin Nunez takes this information to Trump and says, you know, you've got to let you know you've been under surveillance and it doesn't have anything to do with Russia. And here, you know, I saw these reports and I'm very concerned. And then the reporter talking to Nunez says, how dare you go and talk to the president when he's under investigation? Number one, we don't even know what the president, if he is under investigation or what he was under investigation for. That's why we need transparency. But the idea that you're going to do an illegal investigation and then use that as the defense for not telling this person about it is insane. We'll be right back. 650 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces AM, 1450, 523, 1450 on KOBE. Got some local weather for you. Thank you. So we've got a little bit more money coming into New Mexico schools. The land office has announced that they've made some more leases and sales, and so $18 million coming in for that. And then, and that's from U.S. News and from the Albuquerque Journal. The warning is about tough choices in Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare. The state is pushing back against any changes to Obamacare because maintaining expanded Medicaid health care coverage for low-income adults in New Mexico could cost the state government up to $240 million a year as federal matching funds are reduced for new or returning Medicaid enrollees. So anyway, that is why the state is suffering from a certain level of anger over the Obamacare changes. We have a call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Jim.
Hey, Jim. Good morning to you. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Just a little crazy theory of mine.
All right.
I'm wondering if the Israeli government is helping Trump, because after 8 years of getting stabbed in the back by Obama's administration, they finally have a friendly administration in the White House again.
Right.
They will try to, they probably have insiders in our own government. They'll do anything they can to help Trump stay in power and, not get, but not let his administration go down.
Well, and I mean, there's probably something, I think that there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't really have any idea behind the scenes, but I'm sure that Israel would be at the front of the line of people that wanted to help him.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. I think there are thousands of people in our government and this intelligence service. We have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to play out from this, this current wiretap, situation?
Oh, I think, well, didn't the Obama administration try to influence the Israeli with $300,000 or something the State Department gave to influence an election in Israel a couple years ago?
Yeah, I just think in general that Obama was not a fan of Israel, and he at one point demanded that they go. I mean, Obama did a lot of really crazy things when you get right down to it. But one of the craziest ones that he did is demanded that Israel go back to its 1967 borders, which I think would put the country at its smallest part 60 miles wide. It would be indefensible against attack. And, I think Obama absolutely hates Israel.
No, absolutely. It's quite obvious that he preferred the Muslim world to the Christian world and Jewish world. It's quite obvious.
I was talking to a friend of mine last night. Sorry to cut you off, but we're running out of time. I want to get this out there. A friend of mine who is really he's not a fan at all of Trump said that although he's not a liberal, he says that he thinks that Obama, nobody is even interested in anything he has to say anymore. He's spent. He's a spent force.
I hope so.
Yeah. Anything else?
No. Oh, is Ben coming on later?
Yeah.
Okay, tell Ben or tell everybody, if you want to improve the economy around here, lower the cost of electricity and somehow, some way, lower the minimum wage and lower the cost of electricity. And that's what it takes to get development going. All right, we'll see you.
Thank you. Who says that people here want jobs? I'm telling you, and it was told to me as a plot from the Mormon church, which I have I don't know these things, but when I was living in Utah, somebody who on the inside who knew said that I think it was Home Depot had tried to come in and open, or Lowe's, whatever, had tried to come in and open a store and say, we'll pay people $15 an hour. And supposedly somebody in the local government, I have no idea if it was connected to the LDS church, but that's how it was described to me, but that it was said that they would not accept this business building there unless they paid 10 an hour, not 15, which I thought was crazy. And then the more I thought about it, maybe that's in their own deformed way how they keep power. Maybe that's what they're doing here. 659, with all due respect to my Mormon brothers and sisters. We'll be right back. Break on the hour, and we're going to have Rossum.
And I love to come a funeral fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on. Yeah, come on, honey.
Well, it's 7:06. It's the 23rd day of March, and we do have the Rossum Report here. We have Ben Rossum. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you this morning?
Good, good. Did you hear that last caller?
I did. Kelly, that last caller had a couple suggestions about El Paso electricity cost and minimum wage. Thought I'd touch on that real briefly. El Paso Electric just announced that they are not going to go forward with their next rate increase in New Mexico right now. So that's a good thing. It doesn't lower costs, but at least it's not going up right now. So hopefully that'll be a good thing.
And the gentleman said, if you want to increase employment in this area, bring down the cost of electricity and the minimum wage. And what else did he say?
I think those were the two big items that he hit on. For the county, the minimum wage is the state minimum wage of $7.50 an hour, which is slightly ahead of the federal minimum wage at $7.25 an hour. Of course, the city is the one that's increased that rate to $10.10 an hour by the beginning of next year or 2019, I think, is when it goes up to $10.10. So, but that's not a county thing, but it certainly does impact the county as well.
Reducing the price of electricity, that seems like an impossible hill to climb.
Well, you know, Kelly, I'm not sure it is. When we look at surrounding areas at the rate that they pay for their electricity, we are on the high side for electricity costs. Now, one of the reasons is the requirement from the state to go to greener technology, so whether it's solar or wind. And so that electricity is more expensive today to produce. So that's one of the reasons, because the state requires El Paso Electric to have the green solar or the solar and wind energy.
Well, you know,
electricity.
Your understanding is green. Has green power? Has it really fulfilled its promise? The environmental power, the green power, was supported by the government. It was subsidized and
heavily.
Is it going to take over?
Well, you know, Kelly, I think that my opening remark sticks on that. You know, our cost is higher than surrounding areas, and it's because of that requirement. So maybe down the road that'll change, but today, Las Cruces, Doñana Countyans pay a higher electricity rate because of that requirement.
Okay, so get rid of the higher prices by getting rid of the green requirement.
I think that's one of it. I think that when you look at utility companies, El Paso Electric is one of the higher ones on their return to investors, which is good if you're an investor, but that also means that's coming out of our local economy too. So, you know, there's definitely multifacets to that, and we rely heavily on the PRC, the Public Regulation Commission, that regulates electricity. And I think we'll have our PRC representatives up for re-election next year, I think, but I'd have to look into that to make sure. But they are elected officials, and so it's important to get involved in those elections.
Okay, and so, you know, every time we get together, I always think about the failed economy here, the empty buildings, the promise that those buildings represent. Somebody at one point had a vision they were going to build some commercial space, and another person would come in and rent it, or they would rent it, and now there's nobody in there.
That's
so
right.
Are we always going to be stuck where we're at?
Well, you know, and Kelly, that one may be a little bit more something that we can change quicker on a local level, but that has to do with that minimum wage a lot. you know, when you look at my company, Rossum Builder Supply, 40%, more than 40% of what we produce goes out of Doñana County. Most of it's going into the El Paso market. It will be very challenging for me to compete in the El Paso market with the labor cost that's 25% higher than what theirs is. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the next 2 years. Agriculture, 97% of the agriculture that's grown here in Doñana County leaves the county. So we take that minimum wage and we increase that minimum wage on ag communities up to 10 an hour. That will destroy our local ag economy. And so I think people have to be aware, specifically City of Las Cruces councilors, have to be aware of what they're doing and the ramification that it'll have.
But don't you see in this mentality, this psychology of leftism, that things have to be a certain way, even if it's a destructive force, that so often, you know, or inevitably, far left policies create destruction in their wake, and yet they will get up and say, well, we've got to have a livable wage, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, the people who work have a livable wage, whoever doesn't is supported by the government, and everybody's happier. What's your response to that analysis?
It takes away the opportunity to succeed, Kelly. If there's no reward for being successful, there's no reason to be successful. That takes away the innovation that we get. I mean, that the core of America is based on that reward. And you take that away, and there's no reason to work hard at it. I think it's a real detrimental system. The direction that the city council is going is very detrimental to our economy.
And they're self-empowered. We've got the somebody who I've been informed the next mayor is going to be Greg Smith. According to some callers, he's a shoo-in, and yet he's a guy that's up signing bills to stop the president from building a wall and such. It seems like we're totally disconnected from reality in this area. Why?
You know, Kelly, I pride myself with going out almost every week to knock on doors and talk to constituents. And that's very important to me because it gives me the opportunity to continue talking to them, to hear about what's important to them, and not to get too caught up in the higher decisions or the philosophical decisions that the commission deals with. And I think that keeps me grounded. I don't know that a lot of other politicians do that, but I think it's important to go knock on those doors and hear about someone who's struggling to find a job or has a job, but they keep cutting their hours or just the difficulty in paying regular monthly bills that come up. And I think that if people would hear that on a regular basis and hear what my constituents at least are going through, it's a real wake-up call. And then we say, you know, maybe that green energy isn't as important as someone being able to put food on the table.
Well, I mean, if the government has to always subsidize it, it's a hoax, right?
It's a hoax.
So can we get rid of some of our hoaxes around here?
Well, one could hope at it. You know, in regards to the city council, they'll have their elections coming up in November. There's still time. If there's a listener out there that wants to run for city council or knows someone else that would be good for it, I think filing day is in, I think it's August, thereabouts, August or September is filing date on that. And then the election's in November. So if there's someone that you know that would be good or you as a listener would like to do that, give me a call. I'd be happy to walk you through that process and help you through there. But we've got three city councilors that'll be up for re-election this year. And that's the way to change it, is to get involved, Kelly.
What kind of qualities do you think would make somebody a good public servant like that?
Oh, Kelly. You know, if there's someone concerned that they might not be qualified, listen to a county commission meeting, listen to a city council meeting, and all of a sudden you'll realize that those people up here representing you are just regular people. And some of them you don't have to be exceptionally smart or exceptionally brilliant. That's what I'm trying to say. It's regular people here.
I don't want to say obviously, but all right, folks, we'll take a little break here. Now I've got an unusual, I know maybe the doors sound unusual, but I've got an unusual music, what they call bumper music here. It is the football player who broke all the records, Christian McCaffrey from I can get this to come up here, from Colorado, who is playing harmonica on piano, man. Well, let's here. I'll get that up next. Well, here we go.
Well, Kelly, as you're pulling that up,
yes.
If the caller that called in the end of last hour wanted to talk a little bit more, call back in, or if anyone else has questions, we'll be glad to take them in the next section.
And your phone number?
Well, I was thinking on air. Is it 523-1450?
That's
the
correct.
Number? Okay. And my cell phone number, if you'd like to reach out to me directly, is 649-4153.
Very nice. And we do have a phone call right here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yes, good morning, Kelly. This is your friend, Bob. The reason I'm calling to say hello to our county commissioner, the Honorable Mr. Ben Rawson. I have a question for Ben.
Sure, Bob.
Okay, Ben, you know, your voice, it has the right tone. And we've met before at your church, and your heart is in the right place. So what I'm thinking is there's a good possibility that you will win being governor of the state of New Mexico. And I thank you for the valuable information you pass on and the hard work that you do. And I just love you. Okay, so you're invited. You want to be, I'm getting married, and I want you to be on the court. So I'll be a Brit and ask you at the appropriate time. It will be on a Sunday afternoon. So we'll try to work this thing out and say hello to your father for me, will you please?
I'll do that, Bob, and thank you for those very kind remarks.
Thanks, Bob. All right. Always something different from Bob. Here's a little Christian McCaffrey on the harmonica. Ben Rawson on the Rawson Report. What else is going on?
Well, Kelly, we've got a county commission meeting coming up on Tuesday. I thought I'd mention a few of the items that are on the agenda. We're going to have a Parkinson's Awareness Month proclamation, a Victims' Rights Week proclamation, a proclamation declaring April as Animal Control and Codes Officer Appreciation Month. We'll also be having an Equal Pay Day proclamation. Then we've got a presentation on reducing opioid deaths in Doñana County. That'll be a real good presentation. Then we're going to talk quite a bit about the internal auditor position. Kelly, longtime listeners have heard me talk about the internal auditor for a long time, but we're going to be talking about who they should report to and how we can do that position differently. Then we have several other items on the agenda, and I have posted the full agenda at my Facebook page, so if someone wants to see it, it's Benjamin Rawson, County Commission District 5. We'll be talking about renaming Motel Boulevard and then also talking about changing the county manager's authority regarding El Paso Electric rate case filings. And so we've got those items coming up on the agenda. It'll be a good agenda. We'll have some good discussion there.
Okay, and when you're going to people's houses, what are they talking to you about?
You know, Kelly, the biggest thing that I still hear is about jobs and the economy, about trying to put food on their table. Number two is about roads, and roads is still a very big issue. We have a lot of roads that need improvement, and we need to make that a bigger focus on the commission. And I'm optimistic with this new commission. We've already started a couple things that will make that a little bit better. I will be having an infrastructure improvement meeting in my district next month, and so I'll talk about that exact date as we get closer. But we'll be having that meeting at the Farm and Ranch Museum. So if anyone's interested in the roads in their area, I hope that you'll take time to come to that meeting.
Okay. And so what development's happening down at the County Commission?
You know, Kelly, I think that we're starting to get where we understand each other a little bit better. our chairwoman, Isabella Solis, is running the meetings a little bit smoother as she gets more comfortable in that. And I think she's done a good job, and we'll keep moving forward. I think the meetings are being run more efficiently, although sometimes we still spend too long on items and need to make a decision and move on.
What have been some of the controversial issues coming up?
Well, you know, in 2 weeks, we've got, or I guess that'd be 3 weeks, on April 11th, we have a fireworks ordinance change that we'll be considering. I think I mentioned that on here a couple weeks ago. But we'll be talking about allowing specialty retailers to sell aerial and ground audible fireworks to non-Doñana County residents. So it shouldn't impact Doñana County very much. It does not repeal the safe and sane ordinance. But there is that slight change that we'll be considering that I know will be controversial in a couple weeks here.
And do you have a feeling which way it's going to go?
You know, Kelly, I don't. To be honest, I'm kind of still struggling through that one myself. I think it's a good way to go. You know, the concern is inside the city of Las Cruces, you don't want those aerial fireworks going off and landing on someone else's house and starting a fire. Okay, I understand that. But we're not talking about the city. The city has its own ordinance. We're talking about in the county. When you look at the county, people can currently buy those in Mesilla. They can buy those in Anthony. They can buy those in Hatch. They can buy those in Chaparral. So by adding another location that can sell those, I don't think we're going to see more of them in our community, especially with the requirement that they be out of state, out of county residents. I just don't see it as a big problem. But I do look forward to hearing from the public. And if there's listeners out there that want me to know how they feel, please get a hold of me.
All right. Anything else?
That's it, Kelly. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for sponsoring the show, and what's the latest at Builder Supply, the Rossin Builder Supply?
You know, Kelly, as the weather's getting warmer, we're starting to see more people replacing screens, opening windows. If you've got windows that won't open, give us a call. We do all kinds of service work on those, and we can send our crews out to take a look and figure out what's causing the problem, if there's parts that need to be replaced, those type of things. So as the weather gets warmer, give us a call for all of your window and door needs.
And how about screen doors that can't be broken into?
You know, Kelly, we do have some security doors to help provide that protection. We also provide some armor door reinforcers that help when doors are being kicked in. So we've got those things to help out on your needs as well.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
725, and we do appreciate the sponsorship of Ben Rossin's Builder Supply, or the Rossin Builder Supply, Ben and his dad Lee. We'll be right back.
And they sing the song called Break On Through, They Are the Doors.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side, break on through to the other side.
So anyway, got a little Jim Gaffigan here. I was screening some clips, but here's a little bit of Gaffigan to lighten the mood.
Your wife is a very healthy eater.
Yes.
And does she got you? Is she got you trying to be healthy?
I mean, you know, there's times, you know, when I feel like I just gave up. I mean, you know, at times I feel like I'm trying to get fat. You know, like a couple of nights ago, I was eating a pint of ice cream, and I finished it because I'm American, you know? I took off the lid and I threw it away because I'm not a quitter.
Yeah.
Right? And because I care about the environment. I was conserving energy by not refreezing it. And
I never heard that argument. That's fantastic.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I was eating pint ice cream and sweatpants like a man.
Yeah.
And my wife came in the room. She was like, Jim, are you going to eat an entire pint of ice cream by yourself? I was like, hopefully. Yeah. Unless you selfishly want a bite. She was like, Jim, you have a 9-year-old daughter. Don't you want to be at her wedding? I was like, not really. No.
No?
Wait, is there going to be ice cream at her wedding? How
would attending a wedding, why would that be an incentive? You know, it's like, don't you die in 18 years. There's an awkward party you have to pay for. You need you to write a check.
So she wants you. She wants you to live a long time.
Yeah,
she,
no, I love my wife, and I love the fact that I have someone that's looking out for me. And she wants me to live longer, but you know, we all want to live longer, but how long, right? I mean, you ever see old people? I mean, really old people. They always have that look on their face, like, oh, I can't believe I'm still here. I would have eaten so much more ice cream. Why did I ever consume kale? You know?
Kale?
Kale, can we stop with the kale propaganda?
Kale has become, I never heard of kale, and then in the last couple of years, it's kale.
It tastes like bug spray. I looked at a can of bug spray, and it said made with real kale. kale is so good for you. It's just a trend, right? Kale is so good for you. You know, they could find out kale cures cancer, and I would still be like, I'm just going to do the chemo. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, you bring up a really good point because every time I eat anything now, it's got kale in it. I don't know,
right.
I don't know if it's a California thing or it's also in New York. They put kale everywhere.
Well, and it's also people brag. It's just a health trend. Like there's a new health trend every 6 months. There's a new milk every 2 weeks. You know, like you're not supposed to drink cow's milk. Don't drink cow's milk. You should drink soy milk. And they discovered soy milk is all estrogen. They're like, you should drink soy milk unless you want your sons to have testicles. You know, you should drink rice milk, and they discovered it's like drinking carbs. And they're like, you should drink almond milk because almonds make milk. Unless you have a nut allergy, then you should drink hemp milk, which is like a nut-free almond milk that's made from rope. And if you don't like that, you can try this new milk that's called cow's milk. It's very big in Europe. But I don't know. I did discover that I'm gluten-free. I don't know if anyone's gluten-free here.
Now, wait. You discovered that you're allergic to gluten? Or?
Well, I was lying. That person's a communist. Obviously, people that are allergic to gluten are just like anybody else in this country, except for they're allergic to wheat. The amber waves of grain, Conan. Doesn't mean they don't love this country. It just means they can't stomach the purple mountain's majesty. Those are the people we should be screening at the airport.
Yeah.
Right? Are you gluten-free / a terrorist?
That's pretty rough.
I don't know. It's a good idea, really.
Now, well, now that you arch your eyebrows like that, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah.
Why not?
So.
All right. So, anyway, we've got a little bit more. I wanted to just mention to you some of the things going on with Gorsuch. He's been so good. I was talking to my buddy Carlos, and you remember that I had brought on Carlos a number of times. He runs a university back in Ohio, and I talked to him last night, and he asked me what I thought of Gorsuch, and I said, I cannot believe how good this guy is. And I think he stops in the middle of his career and goes to England and gets a doctorate in law, which means to me something really fantastic. He's thought deeply about the law, and he's come back from that. He's been on the Court of Appeals, and he knows that we're in real trouble with our legal theory and our legal practice in this country. And we have a hard time, increasingly difficult time defending our legal theories because they're increasingly distanced from where we came from. We came from this, obviously, the greatest legal theory in history, Anglo-American law. And at one time it was a natural law theory. And then as the law above the law, the idea that is brought up, really developed first by the Greeks and then is intersected by the Christians and the philosophers, and it becomes the greatest legal theory in history, and really the only legal theory, the hardest answers in it. And so let's take a break here, and then we'll come back and hear a little bit from Gorsuch, a little more. All right. So to break up the monotony of politics, we've got a situation in. I've got a situation in Alaska. Alaska volcano erupts 36 times in 4 months, tripling in size. Volcanic Bogoslav Island, shown in a January 2017 picture, and this is from weather.com, and it is got the shape of kind of a hook. It's kind of got a base on the left side, and then it's got a kind of a mountain towards the bottom of the hook, and then it comes up and goes to the right, kind of circles down. It's got a couple of prominent things that have been built up, and then there's nearby there's another piece of rock that's up out of the ground, and it has erupted and erupted and erupted. Now, blasting plumes of ash thousands of feet in the air, it's tripled in size due to pyroclastic fall and flow deposit. Pyroclastic, obviously, fire-related, and these are one of the most dangerous volcanic phenomena. And so it's kind of interesting. Now, there's somebody that, when I was looking this up for a little clip, had mentioned here that there are 32 volcanoes erupting right now. So check this out. This is called Signs of the Times. It's a little bit, I guess it's kind of evangelical, but this guy's claiming it's the end of the world.
What is up, my friends? Brother Joey here with another Signs of the Times report. And in this report, we're going to do a volcanic update, a worldwide look at all the volcanoes around the world. The last time I checked earlier today, there were 30 plus volcanoes actively erupting in full out eruption around the world. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at the significant uptick in volcanicity worldwide in the last 2 weeks. And we're going to start with this piece right here, talking about how Mount Etna, the volcano, experienced an earthquake swarm of more than 60 tremors, and they had to evacuate schools. And in the midst of this flurry of quakes experience there at Mount Etna. So this is the first piece I wanted to show you. I'll link you up with everything I show you as usual in the description box below. But here we see more than 60 quakes shake Mount Etna in this piece from January the 30th, a little under 2 weeks.
So this is from about a month ago, just to let you know.
And there was also this report here talking about Alaska's Bogoslav volcano and how it erupted again, and it's erupted more than 25 times since mid-December. And there's this piece here talking about how Hawaii's Kilauea volcano and the lava fire hose going on over there. And the scientist that's commenting in this video here by USGS says that he's never seen anything like it, and how typically these things don't, they last a very short period of time. And this has been going on for pretty near over a month now. And pretty spectacular stuff. You see here this lava just pouring into the ocean. And I'll link you up to it, and you can listen to the report by this scientist here who gives you a little bit more details on it. But we see more active volcanicity and just some spectacular shots here of this thing. And it continues to this day, as far as I know. And like I said, this scientist has come out and he said that he has never seen anything like it. So I'll link you up with that as well. Meanwhile, the Piton de la Fournaise volcano erupted on the French island of Reunion. And it shows some video footage here in this piece again, some pretty spectacular footage.
Anyway, so this guy is going on and on about these volcanic eruptions and saying that basically we've never seen eruptions like this before, which, I mean, if you look at the history of the Earth, it cannot be really true. We've got a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, this is David. I'd like to talk to you more about the volcanoes going off on the Earth, something that nobody's noticed.
David.
That's Mount Etna.
David,
Mount Etna.
David, don't let me interrupt you, for God's sakes. Go ahead.
Mount Etna is the tallest mountain in Europe, and Hawaii is the tallest mountain on the planet, 300 feet taller than Mount Everest. On the 30th parallel, Mount Etna is 33 degrees, and Hawaii is the 27th degrees. On the 30th parallel, as we started to tilt into the sun, we are starting to tilt forward. Both of the largest volcanoes on the planet are exploding at the same time. What's going on in our area is the lake is the lowest point. A mountain is basically the caldera, or was it Kilbourne Hole, before it exploded. So the volcanic activity that's going on the west coast is going to be Mexico City is doomed. What's going to be happening over there? And the whole ring of fire now is lit up. Let's think of it as a giant pie. All right, the biggest mountain on the face of the earth is right in the center.
David,
the whole ring of pan,
David,
New Guinea.
David, what?
Yes.
What kind of pie?
What kind you want?
Blackberry.
They're all going to start exploding. They're all going to start going off. The west coast
sounds
is ripping up.
Sounds delicious. So when do you predict this?
Oh, well, that's like predicting a pimple. But the geothermal activity on the planet right now, with us tilting, both tallest volcanoes on both sides of our planet exploding, it is detrimental. It's critical that people start putting some water away. The water mains are going to start busting like they did last time over here on Picacho Peak. We're going to start seeing them in El Paso, Albuquerque. All the water mains are going to start exploding, and then the wells are going to start going dry. You won't be able to notice that. But what will be happening is the water mains are going to start busting all along the Rio Grande here.
When is it going to happen?
That, again, I can't tell you. I mean,
give us a window. Give us a window, because I love pie, so give us a window.
Okay, if your body is 70% water, so is the earth. What's going to be happening, let's say it's a three-month healing cycle. 3 months, so what's it, in the March? Oh, by June, like this, there's going to be some rock and rolling going on all the way from Sanson. Just go all the way down to Mexico. That is going to counterbalance what's going on Cacho Peak and what I call Chichi Mountain on the other side of the Rio Grande.
All right, so David, do you tie this together with the apocalypse or anything like that?
I really put it together with our planet right now rocking and rolling. Look at tonight when the sun goes down. Look at where the Big Dipper is. All right, the Big Dipper is way over on the east side. After this activity started happening on on Hawaii,
briefly,
Kilauea.
Briefly.
Well, we're tilting. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
What's causing us to tilt?
Multiple different things. There's so many different ways you could look at that variable on what's making us tilt, but we are tilted. The Big Dipper is way off to the east. Way, I've never seen it off this far.
Well, that's interesting. Thanks for the call, David. Great call. All right, folks. You know, never know what's going to set somebody off, like a Kilbourne Hole caldera going off. But when he brings up blackberry pie, of course, I'm immediately more interested. So, there was a time in the history of the Earth when there was a lot of volcanic activity. And the way we know that is you go out and look around and see all of the different formations that have a volcanic origin. But especially we know that the Organ Mountains on the left and in the right have a slightly different formation. But one is volcanic and the other one is what they call trying to remember the exact name of these, but it's basically volcanic material. It's melted rock that's pushed up from underneath the earth and comes up to the plutons, I think they're called. And they've found that these things can form pretty quickly. So basically There was a time. So you know, the question is, how long ago was this massive amount of volcanic activity? And was it all going on at the same time around the Earth, as David suggests, with this eruption of the Ring of Fire? Was it going on in North America and in Europe and in Africa? And, you know, there are still volcanoes that are constantly erupting, constantly on fire. And then there's other areas that seem to spring to life. But I have noticed, and I mentioned this on the show, that the Ring of Fire appears to be a lot more active than it was a few years ago. So then the question is, and I don't know anything about the tilting of the Earth or the Big Dipper, all that, but and it seems like it would have been in the news if it was true, but with all due respect to David, but you know, so are we entering a new period of, you know, volcanic activity, Earth activity? And if so, would people tie that into the apocalypse, the end of the age, the end of the Earth and everything? I think that would be interesting. Now, I'm just kind of digging through a few more stories here in the science department. Oh, and we do have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is round two. This is David. One more
David,
time.
David.
The Rio
David,
Grande is,
David,
is lined by three huge
David,
volcanoes.
David. David.
And that is
David.
Los
David.
Alamos.
Folks, you don't call your own rounds here. I call your rounds. All right. So why women lose their sex drive from Real Clear Science? Thanks for the call, though, David. The second round two. Why women lose their sex drive? A lack of sexual desire is one of the most common sexual dysfunctions among women, and 1 in 10 women are distressed by reduced libido, reduced sex drive. New study looking into the factors behind this trend among women aged 19 and 58, and it suggests that the male sex hormone testosterone may influence women's sexual desire and is further influenced by a wide range of both psychological and social factors. Quote, lead author Sarah Wallin Jacobson, sounds like maybe a feminist, could be just her name, of course, but... Anyway, there's no simple explanation for why some women lack sexual desire. Testosterone may play a role in women's sexual desire, but we also show that psychological and social factors play a major role. You hear that, folks? You hear that, ladies? Desire is much more than biology. The new study underlines the fact that sex and desire are about much more than just hormones. You're not just a hormone. In biology, says physician and professor of sexology, Christian Graugard from Sexology Research Center, University of Aalborg, Denmark. Sexuality is a complex affair where the biological, psychological, and social factors all play a role. Complexity should, of course, be reflected in both the evaluation and treatment of women who complain about the lack of desire. Now, famously, Sigmund Freud himself said that he did not understand women's emotions, women's sex drive, and everything. And in this study, a questionnaire of 428 premenopausal Danish women, they answered a number of questions about their relationship, psychological well-being, and sexual function, including whether or not they were experiencing a low sex drive. Quote, low desire is not necessarily a problem for all women. It's only classified as a sexual dysfunction when the woman is distressed about having a low sex drive. So some women have a low sex drive and they love it. Testosterone is often described as the male sex hormone, but is also produced naturally in women's ovaries and adrenal glands, except in smaller quantities than the male body. And so that's important in this, you know, so I guess male and female hormones come together. Testosterone makes women want to have sex, and lower testosterone makes women want to have less sex. So, do women pick up when they're in relationships? Do they absorb? Do they get testosterone from men? That's another question I would have here. And she goes on, when we only looked at the group of women who had a lower sex drive and were distressed by it, it didn't look as though the testosterone level had much significance. So here, the relationship, the length of the relationship and symptoms of depression played a more significant role. It's an interesting finding, she says. Women who reported that their partner had sexual problems had half the risk themselves of experiencing it. So they're obviously, you know, the sex drive for women is not like with men. I say obviously, but it seems obvious to me anyway. So here's another article from NPR, Would You Become an Immortal Machine? And we had talked about this before, and I think this would actually be a great show to come back and do, is the issue is transhumanism. Do you want to live forever? And so there's cryogenics, which is freezing your body until they can find a way to save you from whatever killed you, or, you know, so, but the issue of whether you would have a chance to live forever, it's Mark O'Connell, no relation as far as I know. His book on transhumanism is To Be a Machine, Adventures Among Cyborgs, Utopians, Hackers, and the Futurists, Solving the Modest Problem of Death. And he dives down into that, and he quotes Ralph Waldo Emerson, A Man is a God in Ruins, which reminds me this great quote from Shakespeare, if I can remind it. What a piece of work is a man, noble in reason, infinite in faculty and form and moving, how express and admirable in action, how like an angel in apprehension, how like a god. It's kind of the same idea, is we have so much more ability than we use. And think about this. Somebody practices piano their whole life, or they study physics, and they seem to get more brilliant with age, and then one day they're gone. And all the talent, all the insight, the wisdom and everything, it just doesn't make sense. That's why I think from a human perspective, people want to, they do believe in a life after life, and they want to, because there's this sense that even in oldsters, I've noticed people kind of with the sense that life is just starting for them, and inside of every, even the oldest person is a child, is the heart of a child. That's what I've noticed. 7:59 for all you chill, all you oldsters out there with the heart of a child, I hope you have a good day, and everybody else, keep it moving. Keep your feet moving, and we'll come back in 22 hours. Great hanging out with you, the high part of my whole day. Have a good one. Ciao. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450 on KOBE, Kelly O'Connell Show. Yeah.
We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there, but can you still recall the time we cried? Bring on news to the other side. Bring on news to the other side.